Welcome to the Working Hands Podcast. I'm your host, Tony of Woodland Iron, joined by Keith of Blackthorn Concepts. What's going on, man?
Hi. How are you?
Good. Good.
Good. I feel like we haven't talked in a while.
Been a few weeks, I guess. Everybody's been on vacation, so.
I'd like to start today's episode, like every episode, by thanking our sponsors. Our sponsor, Sabertooth.com. If you go to Sabertooth.com, you can get all your power carving needs covered there. If you use code WH, you could save 10% on your whole order, which is nice. I'll be making an order there this week. I've been doing some power carving this weekend, and I realized I have some new needs. So I got to order some new burrs. So I'm pretty excited about that.
Oh, yeah. So I'll take a moment to thank our sponsor, Maritime Knife Supply, our one-stop shop for makers, as we say. You want to go check out, he's got a shipment of some wrought iron in lately. And I noticed the other day, too, he's got from Baker Forge and Tool. I think it is. Yeah, Baker Forge and Tool. He's got some of their Damascus and have a, what do they call it, like a copper mye. Like it's a copper nickel mix. It's called the Tsunami Wavy. You can check that out. They got some nice stuff there. So you can check him. You can find him at maritimeknifesupply.com and .ca.
He's also got some other big news.
Oh, yes.
He is sponsoring the Great Lakes Custom Knife Show.
Yes, and that will be on August 19th in, I'm going to pronounce this wrong, but Goodrich, Ontario. It's on one of the Great Lakes.
G-O-D-E-R-I-C-H. I don't know how to pronounce that either.
Yes, it's west of Kitchener. It's kind of Toronto area, but a little bit outside of Toronto.
It's Canada's largest knife show, located on the picturesque shores of Lake Huron.
Yeah, Lake Huron.
And featuring some of the best talent in the Canadian knife-making community. If you want, you can follow Great Lakes Custom Knife Show on Instagram. Or you can check out their webpage at greatlakescustomknifeshow.com for more information. We will remind you throughout June that that's coming up. So,
well, June, July, and August.
June, July, and August. What's the date on it? Did you say the date? I did not.
August 19th is what I have written down. I could be wrong.
That's awesome. I would assume Lawrence is going. So if you're going, you can find Lawrence and say hello.
Yes, I will be in the North Sea at that point. I was just looking at that.
Nice. Going on yet another vacation.
Hey, she plans them. I just show up.
Yeah, I got another one coming up too, so I shouldn't talk. But this is episode 100.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
So one of the things we like to do between Tony and I is get the community built around the podcast. And one of the ways we do that is the Maker Camp Maker Swap at the Maker Camp. So if you haven't already started your Maker Camp item, your Maker Camp Maker Swap item, now's the time to get going on it. We're, what, how many months away?
Oh, too few.
You got about 4 months, only 4 months left to get your item done, completed. So based on all your other maker and life schedules, maybe the time to get going. I placed an order for all my materials for my item, so I'm pretty stoked about that. Hopefully I can pull it off in time. It's only 16 weekends or 32 days. Man, it's a lot less than that, too, because some of those weekends are holiday weekends and family time. And
yeah, it's definitely less time than you think about when this is a hobby.
Yeah. Yeah. So if you're thinking about it, bring your best, show off your skills, whatever skill that is, show it off, bring it. It's going to go maker to maker. So I don't know if that's an easier eye or a more keen eye on what you're doing, but you definitely want to bring your best, show it off.
Just thinking about that, I think that's kind of, it's one of those questions that can be answered yes.
It really is. It really is. Yeah. But don't fret whatever skill level you're at. Just bring the best of your skill level. That's all we ask. There are beginners, there's intermediates, there's experts. There's masters in their crafts all joining. So should be fun. Should bring a little chaos to the event, which we love to do. So,
yeah, it'll be good. Last year was fun. First year was good. I'm excited to see what people bring.
Yeah, should start posting about mine this week, depending on if my material shows up. Oh, some people know what it is already.
Yeah, I got to make a jig.
I got to make plenty of jigs for mine. It's probably going to take me a long time to do. So.
Yeah?
Yeah, I'll probably be working a lot of nights, a lot of weekends, but I'm excited about it.
Are you building a boat?
You never know.
You never know.
No. It's not that big. It's just time consuming. You know, woodworking is time consuming. You're like waiting around for glue to dry.
Yeah, yeah, I could see that.
Glue to dry, finish to dry. But it will be made out of walnut.
Yes, sir.
You know what you're making yet, Tony?
Yep. I know what I'm making. I just got to start doing it.
You're not announcing it yet?
No, not yet.
I had a couple people reach out to me. They're like, I don't even know what to make. So I gave them some ideas. And one person was like, oh, that would be a cool idea for one of the ideas I gave. Oh, that'd be a cool idea. So I'm hoping that person, it's a he. I hope he makes that thing because that would be awesome. The vision I have in my head would be cool. I would be happy to go home with that if he made it. So.
Yes, sir.
Until he announces it, I'm not going to out him here. But I would like to hear about what other people are making. If you want, you can send it to Working Hands Podcast on Instagram. We'd love to know what you're making. Use the hashtag MakerCampMakerSwap for your process and finished photos. Let's get the buzz going. Let's get it going early. Give people enough time to show off their skills. So what have you been up to, Tony? I haven't talked to you in 2 weeks.
I've been driving.
Yeah, on the American tour.
Yeah.
How many states did you go through?
Oh, it's a skill testing question. So we hit Maine, New Hampshire, Mass, Connecticut, New York, New Jersey, Delaware, Maryland, Virginia, and D.C. itself.
Quite a bit.
Yeah, so there's 12 states plus a district, or 11 states plus a district, something like that.
Plus the capital, yeah.
So, yeah, it was a good time. We left here on Wednesday afternoon at like 4 and made it to, I'm going to say this wrong because the accent's really weird down in Mass, but it's Worcester? I would say Worcester here, but...
Worcester.
Oh, Worcester.
Yeah, I don't know.
There's an R in there. That's the problem. There's an R in there.
Not Massachusetts, there's not. I don't think they pronounce the R's anywhere.
It's W-O-R. So, anyways, stayed there one night.
Harvard, Jan.
Yeah.
However they say it.
Harvard, yeah. So that was kind of our plan to break the drive up, was to get somewheres into Mass. And then the next day was one of our bigger days. Yeah, actually, that was our biggest day, was the next one. Went from Worcester to D.C. itself. So,
it's a hike.
Yeah, 7 hours, give or take.
That bad.
Yeah, well, the Autobahn that you call New Jersey was pretty easy, so. Yeah,
New Jersey Turnpike. If you hit at the right time, it's an Autobahn.
6 lanes, and you just set the cruise. What's your speed limit down there?
Well, that depends. The posted speed limit on the turnpike changes.
Oh, it changes.
Yeah, they're all digital. They can do 55 to 65.
Okay, so
sometimes I've seen it at 40 if it's a foggy day.
Oh, okay, I've never seen that. Or I didn't. We had good weather, so it was 6. I believe it was 65. But then
that said, if there's no traffic,
yeah,
no one's doing 65.
Well, that's where we were, because it was. Connecticut was a pain in the ass, to say the least. We stayed off the night. Well, I just went by whatever the GPS told me. And instead of using the 95, we used the 15, I think it was called. So it was one of the state highways, not the not the big interstate. So it was 2 lanes, construction, and lots of deer, lots of accidents, lots of stuff. So it just, we got jammed up every now and again. It was a good trip. I say our only little GPS mishap that we had was actually in Baltimore.
Yeah, that checks out. around the harbor.
Yeah, in and around the harbor. So there's 2-tiered highway there. Like you have, we got in and out of it quickly, so it wasn't really an issue. But it took us off the elevated highway down, and then we missed the exit off the lower highway to go back up onto the 95, like to go to the elevated highway. And we ended up in like, I don't know, I felt like, I didn't feel like I was in a good place. Let's put it that way. And anyways, it wasn't, we weren't in any danger. It was just like, you could tell we were in a rougher part of town. So anyways, we U-turned and went back up.
Just a little change from Canada.
Not really. It's just, I don't know. It's different when you're not close to home.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was, we had some fun. The kids tried to hold their breath under all the tunnels and bridges that we did. They failed. There was a tunnel in Baltimore that we took that was quite long. And then they tried it in the Holland Tunnel on the way back up too. So
next time you got to go all the way to Virginia Beach and go over the Chesapeake Bay Bridge Tunnel. They'll pass out in the back. You don't have to worry about listening to them.
Well, they're 13 and 14, so they pretty well just got to a point and gave up. Or were breathing and just kept their mouth closed. But yeah, that was a fun time. DC was, I don't know, I had some mixed reviews from people. A few people said, well, why are you going there? And then once we got there, I was like, yeah, this is a nice spot. It was nice, kind of nice to see all the different monuments and stuff. We walked up, went to the Washington Monument, then walked along the reflecting pool, and then went up to the Lincoln Memorial.
Across the mall. Isn't that what they call it down there?
I don't know.
It's called the mall.
Oh, maybe.
I think.
It's a long walk. I mistakenly wore my Birkenstock sandals to walk that. And then
amateur.
Yeah, I was blistered up pretty quick. I made it back, but we did 5K that evening and then went out again after that. But I wore sneakers from that point forward. But yeah, we went up. We went to the White House, had a look at the White House from both sides. It's kind of neat.
How crazy was it being down there like Memorial Day weekend or week?
So it wasn't bad in D.C. D.C., I felt like, was a city that it's built pretty well. It's the traffic's not stupid crazy. The only time I think you'd have a hard time, like if there's some sort of motorcade barreling through the city, I think that would be a bit stressful because there was a motorcade. We were on the north side. I don't know. We were on one side of the White House. And they come barreling out of there with, you know, the SUVs and all the motorcycles. Like, 8 motorcycles came out, then like 6 SUVs, and then a bunch of motorcycles behind it. And you can hear them when they're coming out of the gate, and they're just they're hammered down. Like, you can hear the trucks shifting and just going, going, going. They did not, wherever they're headed for, they were getting there in a hurry. And it seemed like that was standard practice. Like, it didn't seem like, when I looked at, nobody seemed excited. It was just like, that was normal day-to-day stuff. So that's why I was like, okay, gotcha. This is what they do.
Yeah. I mean, if you don't do it that way every time, then when you do it, it's going to alarm people.
Yeah, I think there's kind of a part of it there. But yeah, no, DC was good. Food was good there. We spent, what was it? We did Six Flags America.
How was that?
That was pretty good. Kind of sucked that one of their bigger rides was down. It was called the Batwing. It looked like it was pretty cool. There was a full corkscrew at one point, which would have been really fun. But they had a lot of good stuff. Like, all their stuff seems to be themed on like DC, so like Superman and Batman and Joker and all that kind of stuff's there. Did what else? Oh, they got two wooden roller coasters there that were, those are the scariest things you'll ever go on.
I like a wooden roller coaster.
I like it. I enjoy it. But man, they are rough and they bounce you around and you're just like, it's not like, so they had two wooden ones there. I can't remember the name of the first one we went on, but the second one was called Roar. It's pretty rough, but it's fun. It's the nature of that type of coaster. But then we went and did, the Superman one. We ended up doing that one twice. It did 70 some miles an hour. That's what it says. I feel like you're going a lot faster than that.
On a wooden roller coaster?
No, this is the Superman one's the steel pipe ones.
Oh, just, okay.
And it's one of those ones. So the four of us were on it, and Lil doesn't do well with heights. And we're like...
The Ride of Steel, that one?
I think so. We go up like 200 feet, then they just drop you, which is kind of the basis of most high-speed roller coasters. They just bring you to a height, and then you get dropped down a long decline.
205 feet with a maximum speed of 73 miles an hour.
Yeah, so that's the one. So we, Lil was going up, and then I swear we were 70, 80 feet from the top. And she's like, I don't like it. She's not a fan of heights. And then
well, they build all that suspense with the click, 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 because that's an older one, right? So it's the old.
Yeah, school, any click, of those click, ones click, usually click. It was, you could feel it and you could feel the clicks and you could, it was, yeah. They make
like
things.
The ones that just kind of fire you up there right out the, like right out of the gate.
So the Joker was that way. So the Joker one, you got in and they kind of give you a countdown. And the guy that was starting the ride would do a 3, 2, gone. Like every time it was, his countdown never hit one kind of thing. He'd start from 5 or start from 3 or, one thing he did was when we were sitting there, he was like, joking about someone's lock wasn't engaged or something.
Oh yeah.
And then just sent them. So
it's got to be monotonous to not do stuff like that.
So, and that was what they were doing all day long. So it was kind of fun. Did that one twice. That one was pretty good because it was like, say, they rocket you up to like 60K or 60 miles an hour. And then the rest is just the inertia of it. It does slow down, but it's very twisty. Like you're flipped over and all kinds of things.
Yeah, I looked that one up. It looks crazy.
Yeah. So it's a quick one, like 30 to 45 seconds tops.
That's crazy.
Like from start to finish. And at the end of that, there's a corkscrew that they bring you through just as you get up into the platform before you make the turn to go back in to get unloaded.
It goes 0 to 60 in 3 seconds.
Yeah.
The duration is 56 seconds.
Oh, so it's longer than I thought.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was a good one. They had another one called Firebird. That was pretty good. Kind of, there's a bunch of stuff there. It looks like they're either in the process of like revamping the part of the park, like making it a little bit bigger, or they've closed parts of the park. I'm not sure.
Yeah. I just looked it up here on, Wikipedia, and the years of these roller coasters are weird. Like the Wild One opened in 86, Mind Eraser 95.
Eraser's gone.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, it wasn't there.
Roar, 98. The Joker's Jinx, 99.
Okay.
The Great Chase, 99. Superman, 2000. Batwing, 2001. Firebird, 2012. And the Raging Cajun was 2014. These are some older rides.
Yeah, the Raging Cajun, that's a smaller ride, but actually got the kids going pretty good because you're in a little tub and it spins while you're going. And it's not like a teacup. It's like a forced spin. So it throws you around pretty good too. I was laughing the whole time. My daughter, Jordan, was not a fan of me laughing while she was scared out of her mind.
I don't like the spinny one.
Yeah. You know, the one that kind of upset all of us the worst, like nobody got sick, but it did upset a few stomachs, was there was one called Harley Quinn. So... it's one of those pendulum ones. So you're on the bottom and it seats like 30 plus people.
Mm.
You get on and then it just like a pendulum, it rocks back and forth. And then the bottom spins at the same time. So you're rotating while you're getting rocked back and forth.
Mm.
And then it goes above 90 degrees and comes back down. It's moving pretty quick. Like you think when you get off the, when you get on the ride, they have a platform that comes in underneath and you have to sit, like get up onto the seat. Like I have to climb into it kind of thing. And then they retract all that. So it's out of your path, but you still feel like you're going to hit the ground. Like it feels like it's like stretching your legs, and you see shoes coming off if somebody doesn't have their shoes tied, and all. It's kind of fun. But that one really did get everybody's like stomach kind of queasy.
Yeah, those ones would get me.
Yeah. Well, there's another one there. It's just, I don't know, call it like a ring of fire or something. And I looked at it. I'm like, yeah, that's just a vomit comet, that thing. It's a full 360 circle. And it just starts rocking back and forth. And then it starts just going in loops. And I was like, no, there's no way we're going on that. Cause somebody's going to be sick. Because it just would induce motion sickness for sure. But yeah, it actually got the girls kind of want to do some Six Flags touring now, I guess. So
you should come to Jersey and go to Great Adventure.
I think Jersey's on the list.
I was looking it up while you were away. Jersey's got the Great Adventure, which is the Six Flags here. It's got like some of the most record-breaking rides.
Yeah, well, that's what we were talking about. We think we'll do Jersey and the New England one, which is in like the Boston area. Do that at some point. So
nice.
Yeah. So then I guess after that, that was one day. And then the next day was, of course, the thing that was for me was the Smithsonian. Went to the Air and Space Museum, which was, I could have spent a lot more time there, but 2.5 hours with the kids and her was about as much as they could handle. I was ready to go for another lap when they're like wanting to go. Just so much cool stuff there. At 2.5 hours, we pretty much ran through the place. Like there's just so much to see.
I'm jealous of that.
Yeah. It's something it's definitely something I'd go to again, even after being there once. To see like the space shuttle, like they didn't even make it pretty. It's as beat up as it was after its last mission. Like, I don't even know if they cleaned the thing at all. It's pretty rough looking.
So wait, what's rough looking?
The space shuttle.
That they didn't clean it up at all?
No.
That's weird.
Well, it's not so much. It kind of fits with some of the aesthetic there that they have, because they do have a few planes there that aren't
restored.
Aren't restored at all. There's one that's it's a survivor of Pearl Harbor. It's a reconnaissance plane. It's one of those like a flying boat. They didn't call it a Catalina, but it looked like a Catalina plane to me. Anyways, that one still has not been restored, and it is in the condition it was at the end of December 7th, 1941. So that was kind of cool to see. It's cool to see the difference too, because they go through the eras. So you go into like when you first go in, there's a spot where it's all like early flight, like the Wright brothers kind of era, a little bit past that, like First World War kind of stuff. And it's just mind boggling that people got in these things. Like some of them look like sleds that they have wings and a motor. Like there's no wheels on it. It's just skids. It's wild that people, you know, had the balls to do that.
Yeah.
And then there's a bunch of early military choppers that are basically a seat with a pole coming up behind the seat with an engine and a prop.
Really? That's it?
Well, there's a tail prop going out too.
Yeah.
But it's, yeah, like there's barely a seatbelt to hold people in. Like it's wild.
How crazy was it to see the SR-71?
Yeah, that was pretty cool. That was, I don't know if that's the only surviving one now at this point.
No, they got one up at up in New York on the Enterprise.
Oh, they have one at the okay, because that's something.
Or I no, to the Intrepid.
Intrepid, yeah. I wanted to go see that stuff.
I've never been. I keep telling my buddy I want to go, and he's like, "Yeah, we'll go." And then,
Yeah, the SR-71 in that setting, like there's nothing around the SR-71 for about there's 20 or 30 feet before you hit the next kind of exhibit. Like it takes up a lot of space in that, in there.
That's my favorite plane.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I wish they had a one of the U2s there.
Oh, neat. They don't? I thought they did.
Not that I saw. They have a had a Predator drone. That was kind of cool.
Oh, yeah. I've never seen one of them.
Bigger than I expected. And that was the thing, too, to see the size of, like, they had, like, a Hawker Hurricane there, which is a British plane, British and Canadian plane. It was, so the Spitfire was kind of the one that everybody knows that's an, that was the British plane. Well, the Hawker Hurricane was the next one, like the one behind it.
Right.
It actually had more kills than the, but there was more of those planes as well. So that was kind of neat to see, like, the size of those planes. And then to see the size of the modern jets. So there was a Tomcat there. Oh, it was a F-35 was there. There was like, there was some
F-35 in a museum already.
Yeah. It's one of the X. So it's one of the experimental airframes. It was an X-35 something, something after, I can't remember. I have pictures of it, but it was
that's
an X.
That's the one that came after the Raptor, right? That's the one they all use now.
Yeah.
The joint fighter, or whatever they call it.
Yeah, the X, the 35 is, it also has STOVL ability, so it can short takeoff and landings. It's like a Harrier jet.
Doesn't the F-22 have that too?
Not that I'm aware of. But, you know, it was kind of cool. Well, not kind of cool. It was cool. What else was there that I can think of right off? Oh, there's one that's, I guess it's called a B-25. It's a Marauder. There's one that they're rebuilding right now. And then, and when they rebuild something, it takes, you know, could take decades. And it looks like it has. There's a B-20, I think it's a B-25. It's
two props.
Yeah, two props.
Gunner.
Yeah. Well, I believe so, because it's in pieces. They have an area where you can look down into where they're curating or rebuilding certain planes. And you can see on the side, you can see it's called, the plane is named is Flakbait. And it is the, I think the way, I was listening to the thing they were talking, they had a presentation on it, and it was the one of the few airframes to survive the entire war. So from the, like it, I think it came into service in 43, and it flew 100 plus missions or something with different crews, because 25 missions for the U.S.
And then you're done.
Your crew returned home.
Yeah.
So that would have been a cycle of, you know, at least four crews. So, and they had all the different things. It showed how many missions, what the missions were on the side. And then they showed, like, that plane has a confirmed fighter kill. So it has a swastika on the side. And that's what they used. And then they had ducks. It showed ducks. And those were decoys. They're decoy missions. If you had a duck on the side of the plane.
So you just go up like you're going to do something, but you're just a decoy?
Yeah, you're just a formation going to pull fighters to one somewhere's different. And then the real mission went in and was able to do what they needed to do without being bothered too much.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it was pretty wild. It'd be interesting to see that frame put back together. They had a lot of German stuff, a lot of Japanese stuff that surprised me. Yeah, they had a lot of, like, Cold War stuff, too, which was kind of cool. So, like, for like, the Korean War stuff, they had the, was it F-87, I think it was? It's the Saber, whatever the Saber was. And then had the competing Russian or Chinese variant. Like, it's the, oh, what's that one? MiG-15, I think. Yeah. Anyways, it was a good time. We made it. So then, yeah, that was a whirlwind through Washington, which is a good time.
Seems like you did a lot in 2 days.
Yeah, we did. We put on some miles. That was the thing. So everybody's wearing watches, And we were averaging like 20,000 steps a day, you know, over 10 kilometers a day and walking. We were, because even on the days like we did Six Flags. So we did Six Flags. We came back to the hotel and then we walked to the Capitol building. So we did quite a bit in that time. Like, we never sat around the room for hours upon hours. So
when you were at the Air and Space Museum, are you at the one that had the Wright Brothers flyer in it?
No, no.
Is there two then? Because I was at the one with that, but they didn't have the...
So that's the difference. So the one that we were at is at...
At the airport.
Is at, right? The airport, Dulles, okay. Airport. Then there's another one, another Air and Space that's in the city.
That's the one I went to.
Yeah, I would have went to all of them, to be honest with you. They were all, like, from what I saw of the one Air and Space, it's very well done. So,
yeah, I'll get down to these days. All right. Yeah. So then, what'd you do? You went up to New York.
Yeah, we went to New York.
Drove right past the compound.
Drove right past the compound
twice. You didn't want to stop. It's fine. I get it. Don't visit your friend when you're in his town. It's fine.
Well. We weren't in your town. We drove by.
You were in my state. That's close enough. I'll be sure to do a couple loops around New Brunswick and not come see you. It's fine.
Yeah, but the highway comes right by my house.
Sure, the highway comes right past my house, too.
I didn't even see an exit for your town.
And you won't.
It's buried deep.
Yeah.
Yeah, so... Yeah, no, it was... Yeah, so we left from Dulles from the Air and Space, we went up to New York after that. And that was actually uneventful other than, so since we were in bigger cities, we were like, well, we need parking. So all our hotels have parking either on site or valet or whatever.
Right.
Whatever was available, that's what we used. So the spot we went to in New York, not so much. So there was parking, but it was, well, first, there's no, like, pull-off to get off the road to, like, unload your car.
Right. It checks out.
Yeah. Middle of Tribeca, four ways flashing, sitting on the corner, like, of a street, trying to get the car far enough off the road, and then watching people go by with bicycles and thinking, oh, my God, somebody's going to hit that car. I was stressing out. And then, so we had to go to where the parking garage was. It really wasn't that far, but only one of us had data on our phone. So it's either she drives with her phone, or she comes with me and I drive. And because of her job, her phone is locked and it's not something that's easily messed with. And I didn't want to have to deal with the phone and traffic in New York at 5 o'clock on a Friday, Saturday. I think it was.
Saturday.
Was it Saturday? Yeah. It was still nuts. It was completely bonkers for me. Anyways, I'm not a big city driver. And I'm sure we're in Tribeca.
Yeah.
It was busy.
Yeah.
So yeah, we ended up getting the parking, then walking back. But the kids had to like take all the stuff to the room kind of thing. Because we wanted to get the car out of where it was because it just was anxiety-inducing.
Yeah.
But then the car sat for 2 days and we never touched it, so it was good.
Yeah, that makes New York City nice.
Yeah, that's the one nice thing. That was the one... There's a couple things wrong with that hotel that we were at, but it claimed to have a rooftop terrace kind of thing, but it wasn't open.
What hotel was this?
I can't remember. Hilton something.
Hilton Garden. Garden Inn, New York, Tribeca.
Yeah, in Tribeca.
Yeah.
Anyways, it was a good spot. Like, it was easy to get two things.
Right off the Holland Tunnel, right?
That's where you were? Yeah, pretty much right off the Holland Tunnel, which that was interesting. Well, because every time you went through a light, you went from, like, 8 lanes to 6 lanes. To then, like, down to, they just pared you down every time. Or maybe it was 8 to 4 to 2. That's what it was. And every time you're just like, there's nothing telling you that we're squeezing in. And all of a sudden we're having to squeeze in. I was like,
Getting into the tunnel?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's get fed.
Try doing that at rush hour.
Oh, God. That was pretty, I think that was, if that wasn't rush hour, I don't know how. Like, it was, it moved, but it was rough, man.
Yeah, rush hour is probably easier because you're not moving.
Yeah, you guys can have, you guys can have your all your stuff to do and things that you have down there, because I don't want to deal with that traffic. I've always, like, people ask me about what it's like up here, and I'm like, it's the same. Like, the scenery is the same. But we just don't have as many people, so it's, you know, traffic. Rush hour for us literally is 15 minutes.
Now you know why I'm miserable and hate my job.
Yeah, so now New York was good, because if you go to that, if you're on Google, you'll see that there's a train station or a subway station, like, right Canal on that Street. Block.
Yep.
Yeah, there's Canal Street that you take the A, C, and E. lines. Take those three lines from that station
and get anywhere you want to go from there,
basically.
That's good. So where did you go?
So Lil really wanted to do Brooklyn Bridge, so we did that. Nice.
Did you walk it?
We did walk it.
Were all the vendors on the ends?
Ends, middles, everywhere.
It goes all the way over. I haven't been there since they allowed vendors.
Yeah, so we got on from the Brooklyn side, because we'd done Grimaldi's and that. We grabbed some pizza.
How was it?
It was good. We all approved of the pizza.
Good. Glad I didn't steer you wrong.
Which was rare. Rare for all of us. Disclosure:
I haven't had Grimaldi's in like 15 years, so
yeah.
I didn't know if it was still good.
Yeah, no, it was good. We got two pizzas to split between the four of us. It's nice where it's that thinner crust.
Yeah.
Like, it's not as filling as some others. So it was really good. I enjoyed it. Taste the garlic for days.
Yeah. Well,
yeah. So that was it. Well, our morning, that would have been Saturday morning,
Sunday morning,
Sunday morning. Yeah. Sunday. Oh yeah. Cause Saturday we decided, hey, let's go up to Times Square. That was infuriating.
It's always infuriating. And there's nothing there. Everyone's like, oh, you got to see Times Square. For what? What are you going to do?
I just see some
accosted by Elmo in a 20-year-old costume that's been peed in 9,000 times.
Yeah. And then
what'd you do in Times Square?
We went, well, we worked our way to the north end of it and went to the M&M's building.
All
right. Went into that store.
You know where I grew up is where M&M's are made. We used to wake up in the morning and just smell the chocolate.
I think you've told me that before.
Yeah. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah. So we went there, and then, yeah, it was just craziness. So we just made our way back. I know what you're after now.
That's it? You made your way back after getting some M&M's? That's a weird thing to do in Times Square. You didn't want to go out to eat while you were up in the big city?
I remember this now.
Where'd you go to eat, Tony?
Yeah, we went to Applebee's.
Jesus Christ.
And it was terrible.
You're the culinary capital of the world, Tony. It's the melting pot for everyone.
I know.
There is food for days everywhere. These little boutique places, famous chefs everywhere, all the different places, anything you could want. And you go to a chain restaurant that's microwaved food.
Yeah, basically. I think it was,
that's the most American thing I've ever heard. Going to New York and going to Applebee's in Times Square.
Yeah.
Canadians.
I regret it. But we were trying to get up and away from Times Square, and we were trying to find somewhere that wasn't going to be super busy. So it actually worked out that way. But we walked by.
You're in the most populated city in America, and you go to the least populated restaurant.
It might be a sign.
You probably should have known it was going to be bad.
Yeah. So anyway.
No. But I mean, that's what happens. Sometimes you just want familiar food.
Yeah, I think there was a little bit of that. We did walk by a spot that I think we were kind of, it was the problem with it, just so many people and just like being jam packed. Like, even in the M&M store, like, there was just a constant flow of people in and out of that place, and it just was utter chaos. And
yeah,
I'm just not
utter chaos.
I'm not used to it. Lil's not used to it. The kids aren't used to it. So everybody's on edge. Everybody's a little angry, a little feisty. And
now you're starting to see where I come from.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Oh yeah. There was rage. Don't worry. There was some anger at that point.
Yeah.
So part of why we chose the Applebee's was more of like, all right, we know we can go and everybody can find something to eat there. We did walk by, and this is one regret I have on that trip, is we did walk by a kind of a diner spot called Junior's. I don't know if that's any good or not.
I don't know.
It's
Junior's?
Yeah, it's on the same drag. So if you go from the M&M's, you keep heading north. And then there's a Junior's, and then the next block up is, I remember the next block being Applebee's. It looked like a busy spot too, which would have been, but we're standing on the side of the street trying to figure out if the menu would work for us. And we're like, we already know, we're already kind of pointed in one direction. So that's why we headed for Applebee's.
Yeah, I don't know this Junior's.
Oh, okay.
Junior's Bakery?
I'll have to find it. But yeah, it was good.
Good
enough anyways. What was the other? Yeah, so then we just made our way back. I think come down through Times Square. Yeah, we come back through Times Square and then just went to the nearest subway and made our way back to the hotel. We were done.
Yeah, that'll take it out of you up there.
But
for sure.
I got some pictures. It wasn't a total waste, but definitely added to the stress. So then, yeah, so that was our first day. Then our second day, like I'd already said, was the Grimaldi's Dumbo area. I didn't realize how nice the Manhattan Bridge is as well.
Yeah.
They
converge at the same area in Brooklyn.
Yeah, both pretty sharp.
You know what I learned recently? You know the look of the Brooklyn Bridge?
Yeah.
I'm going to say this wrong. Somebody's going to chastise me. But the cobblestone type look, whatever that look is, that's what the George Washington Bridge was supposed to look like when they were building it. And then they just said something came up. I don't know, the war or whatever. I don't know what it was. And they just said, oh, it looks good as it is. And they left just the frame structure. But the frame is supposed to be covered in brick.
Okay.
I didn't know that.
Huh.
I didn't look it up. That's just what I heard on a podcast like 2 months ago. I thought that was crazy. It would have been a lot of bricks.
Yeah, it would have been. Well, that was one thing. We never hit the George Washington. We used the Como Bridge now when we were coming down?
Yeah. The old Tappan Zee?
Yeah, the old Tappan Zee. So, but yeah, our day in Brooklyn was really good. We really enjoyed that. That was a nice part of the city. You could get around. A lot of Instagram-y type things over there. You can see the people trying to jump and do pictures and us just like,
what's that on the Brooklyn Bridge?
Well, no, it was when we were down in Dumbo. There's this alley that you can look down and there's the
Manhattan Bridge.
The Manhattan Bridge. And it's quite nice. I mean, I like the look of it as well, but
I've got photos from that street. Yeah.
But then to see like everybody like standing on top of stuff and trying to jump to make it look like they're doing something for, and everything's Instagram. And I was like, oh,
for the gram, baby, for the gram.
I hate people.
You got to do it for the gram.
Anyway, it's
all in fun.
Yeah. It was a nice spot.
It's only annoying if you're waiting on them so you could take a photo.
I was never waiting on them to take a photo. Yeah. Well, at one point we were trying to figure, I was texting you about Liberty Island.
Oh yeah. Did you make it over there?
We didn't, but we did get a win. Cause Lil she's like, oh, we don't have to go across Brooklyn Bridge. I'm like, no, we're going across Brooklyn Bridge. I remember someone being very angry when we did not go across the last time we were in New York. We're going across the bridge.
Nice.
I might have said it a little stronger than that when it was happening, but
It is nice to cross the Brooklyn Bridge. I've done it.
It's not nice something you want to do every day, but it's definitely nice. Because she talked about crossing with a bike, and then we got up there to see where the bikes did cross, and it's like, no, that wouldn't have worked because you don't see anything. You're just going. They just essentially took a bit of the car lane to let bikes go.
And they put up a Jersey barrier now, right?
Yeah. So I was like, you don't see anything. Like, here we can stop. We can take it in. Like, so we're on the Manhattan side. And all I hear is this, whoa, 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 what are you doing? What are you doing? And you hear the brakes screeching on a bicycle. And I look down, and there's a woman on a rented one of the city bikes, one of the electric hybrid bikes or whatever. And
city bikes aren't. Oh, maybe they are. Yeah, they have both.
Well, some are. Anyways, she was on one of the city ones anyways. And she was trying to turn around in that space. Well, there was a group of, like, riders that were, you know, they were out for a bike ride. They weren't out to, like, sightsee. They were getting their exercise in. And, a lot of New York accents saying some nasty things to a woman who's clearly a tourist trying to figure out where she wanted to go.
Yeah. So, we're not too kind to people.
It was such a bad...
The bikers who are exercising are... They can be rough.
It was just bad. The entire thing was bad. Like, she was just not a good spot. And it's tight. Like, the space you have on that bridge, it is two bike lanes. One eastbound, one westbound. And if you're not careful, you could clip handlebars.
Yeah.
Like, it's tight. So her turning it, like, the bike lane isn't as long as a bike is... Or the bike lane isn't as wide as a bike is long. It's
long, yeah.
So, anyways, I got somewhat of a laugh, and at some point, one point, kind of like, yeah, it's not good. No. So.
But what did Lil think of the bridge? She get over it? Was happy she did it?
Oh, we got to the Manhattan Pier, it's called a pier. Got to the part, the second, whatever you want to call it, pier. I'll call it a pier. got to that side, and she's like, yeah, I'm happy. I'm like, yeah, well, it wasn't, I don't care. I was going to carry all three of you if I had to. We were going across this bridge. But
did you get over to the South Street Seaport?
No, I don't think we got over there. No, we didn't get over there. No, we went from there. I'm trying to remember. We were going to subway it. But the subway is like 7 to 9 minutes or something. And the walk was like 18. So, like, well, by the time we get down into the subway,
wait for it.
Get a Metro card, like, refill of the Metro card. Because we were just doing, that's all we were doing every time we went into the subway. We filled a Metro card for what we needed. And then that was what we did every time. So, and then I'm trying to think. Yeah, so we
just bought a couple all-day passes. You could buy an all-day pass and then just ride it as much as you want.
Yeah, but I think we only rode it once or twice a day, so that was...
Oh.
Like, the all-day pass was like $50 or something, I thought. Yeah. So it's not really work for us. But yeah, we just walked back to Tribeca, which was nice. It was a nice area of the city.
Tribeca's nice, yeah. Everything down that way is nice. Did you go over to the World Trade Center?
No, we did that last time. We were talking about going, but we didn't end up going this time. Felt like this time the girls might actually, like, if we went into the museum, it would have been, or museum or memorial. First time we were there, it would have been a bit much for the kids. I think now they're old enough that they would have kind of understood what had happened. But they understand what happened, but just to see it.
I have not been yet.
No?
I had the opportunity to go, what day was that? Thursday. I didn't go either that day. Either.
No. Yeah, some of the stuff's not for everybody, for sure.
Yeah, you get me in the right mindset to go there, I think.
Yeah, especially if you're a New Yorker, lived in the area for any amount of time.
But yeah, so that sounds like a pretty good trip.
Yeah, and we had a day in Boston.
How was that ice cream joint I sent you?
Oh, that was good. No complaints there at all. It was like you had a, it's like you had a ice cream barista. So I did the, I did some sort of brownie sundae thing, and Buddy takes the cup and drizzles chocolate and caramel in, puts what your choice of ice cream in, and then brownie pieces, and then more like chocolate caramel, some more ice cream, then a whip on the top with then like the thing had chocolate and caramel like dripping off of it when you got it. So
do
got,
people go to that place? Do they order like they're ordering at Starbucks? Double frap mocha, half calf,
not,
deep
not
calf.
Quite. It's a little simpler than that.
Two turbo shots.
But he's the guy that was there was pretty good. So we enjoyed that. Was it Sugar Hill?
I don't know.
I think that's the name of it. It was good.
I don't know. I just looked up the best place in Dumbo and sent it to you. I don't go out for ice cream in New York.
Yeah, true. Yeah, there's it's kind of in like a, it's kind of a market mall kind of area that's in. It's like a big food, it's kind of like a big food court. It's just below street level. So when you're sitting, like they have bar style seating in spots. And when you're sitting there, you can see there's, you can see the street, but it's like just kind of above your head.
Got ya.
Where the windows are. So that was kind of a neat spot. But yeah, that was pretty much it for New York. We were trying to figure out our way out. We're trying to figure if we're going to have to do the FDR and go down and then around back the bottom around of the island, or the other one that the way we ended up going, but I don't think it's called the FDR, the one that takes you up along by the Intrepid and all like on the Hudson side,
West Side Highway.
Yeah, I think that's all it is. We went up through there and then hooked back up with the highway through Connecticut back to, we ended up in Salem, and that was pretty good. We just did that was the most, as funny as it sounds, that was the most touristy thing we did, because we went in to the Witch Museum and did the whole, you know, I don't know, it's like 12 or whatever. Yeah, it was like 12 or 15 bucks a head. You go in, they do like a 20-minute presentation of what the witch trials were and that time and that era, and like it's interesting. And then we did a little tour around the town of like where the sites for Hocus Pocus, the movie.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there's a few. There's three sites within the town that you can go to.
Is the second one filmed there too?
I think so. I don't. That's, I didn't watch the now, second, right? One.
Yeah, I've never seen it.
But yeah, it was kind of a neat little thing to do. That was very tourist. But it was,
I don't know, man. Times Square, the Brooklyn Bridge, Grimaldi's. That's all touristy stuff.
Yeah, it is. But I guess.
The M&M store.
But to us, it felt like the most touristy
Applebee's
thing.
You know, everyone goes to New York for Applebee's.
Yeah, the rest of it was more of a sightseeing thing.
Yeah, but Salem, well, what's it like up there with the witch tour stuff? Is it weird, or is it just kind
of... No, there? It's just part of the town as far as I can tell. Like, there's not like... I don't know. It didn't seem like any kind of small town. I mean, it's built up bigger than around here, but it's still just like a small seaside-ish kind of colonial town.
Very cool. I know nothing about it, so
yeah, we stopped, there's two houses that we stopped at, and then there was a school, and then the house that the kids lived in from the movie, it's still there. It's all marked up with private property signs.
I'm sure.
Yeah. No, it was a good time.
It's a good way to wind down, though, right?
Yeah, it was a lot. That day was pretty slack. Went to another big American box restaurant. We went to Cheesecake Factory.
Oh, yeah.
That was really good. That was the most expensive meal we had the entire time.
Really?
Well, because we all got a piece of cheesecake each. To take home.
It's worth it, though.
That was good. But yeah, it was like 30 2 hours driving, something like that, with traffic and everything. I don't know how many kilometers or miles we did. Probably 4,000 kilometers.
But you were whatever app we were on. You were sending me stuff from DC, and then I went to a barbecue, and the next thing I knew, you're like, "Yeah, I'm in New York now." So it wasn't like you hit traffic in between places.
Well, there's no traffic in Jersey.
Not on a Saturday, no. Well, it depends, because you were cutting across from the south to the north.
Yeah, we're 95 the whole way.
Yeah. If you had been on the parkway, you would have been in a parking lot on Memorial Day. Everyone goes down the shore. So everyone is leaving the areas you're going to.
Oh, okay. So the one thing I didn't realize, and I was trying to, like, the 95 goes down by Philadelphia, but you don't see Philadelphia.
No.
It's kind of weird.
No. Depending on the way you go to D.C., you can go through Philly if you want, but there's no need to.
Yeah, we stayed on the 95, I thought.
Yeah, but 95 doesn't go into Philly, right?
No, well, from what it shows here, it does, but maybe we stayed on the 295 because that stays out of Philly.
No, you stayed on the Turnpike.
Yeah. So yeah, we never left the Turnpike.
Yeah. 95 breaks off and goes through. Does it? Yeah. 95 goes through Philly, but the Turnpike keeps going. There's 95 and the Turnpike are the same highway for a while in New Jersey.
Yeah, I got you.
But the Turnpike will go down through New Jersey and then come out in Delaware.
Yeah, that was kind of cool. I didn't know we were hitting Delaware at all. Then we hit that big bridge.
Yeah.
I don't know. I might be getting the big toll bill here shortly, but
I'm sure.
I don't know. I didn't have, like, we paid all the ones that had the cash options, but we didn't pay. I mean, some of them are the Easy Pass only. It's like, I don't know. You're going to send me a bill for 60 cents when the stamp's going to cost you more than that?
Yep.
So they never do in New York, so, or Mass.
Jersey's expensive.
Yeah, I noticed that. When we were looking at the little ticket you get when you get on the Turnpike, it shows all the different prices depending on where you go. Some of them are like, one, so like $70. I don't know where you'd be going to be that cost.
That would be if you're a trailer, if you have a trailer.
All the different classes, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so for us, it was like $10.90 one way and then $13 the other.
Yeah, that's about right.
So 13, I think 13 was because we were coming into the city.
Then I think the Holland Tunnel is about $16.
Is it?
$17, yeah.
Because it's another scan one too, so we never.
No, Holland Tunnel is $12.75 off peak hours. Oh, that's if you have Easy Pass. Hold on, let me see what it is. $17.
Yeah. So we'll see, and hopefully I don't have any speeding tickets either. We'll see. There was a few cameras that we went through.
In New York?
Maryland seemed to have the most. And I got a kick out of it because it would be like speed camera. And then people were just blowing by me as I'm trying to slow down to the speed for the speed camera. I'm like, all right, nobody cares. It's just something to try and slow people down.
It's just another tax.
Well, if people were blowing through it like that, that were locals, like all DC plates and Maryland plates, I'm like,
I've gotten nabbed a few times in the city for doing 26 and a 25. I'm like, come on, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, it sucks. What can you do?
Not a whole lot.
Bend over and hope it's over quick.
Yeah.
But I'm glad you had a good time on your vacation. I'm glad you enjoyed my country. I'm upset you didn't come see me, but I understand. It's fine. Have it your way.
Yeah. We only stopped in your state once. Got gas on the way back up. I can't remember.
How was it to have gas pumped for you?
It
was different. Save it for the after show, Tony.
It was different.
Well, did you thank the guy who pumped your gas for you?
He didn't even stick around long enough to thank.
He's busy. He's got a lot of cars to fill up.
It's kind of neat to see 94 Ultra. Gasoline.
Why, you don't have that up by you?
No, our highest grade is 91 or 92. It's 91.
Huh. Did you put 94 in that car of yours?
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
smart to go in Jersey. That's probably the cheapest around, right? Were you taking note of the prices or no?
Not really. Phillips were all like $65, no matter where I was.
Yeah. Jersey used to be the cheapest, and then they changed the gas tax on it, traveler tax or whatever.
Oh, okay.
But we used to be the cheapest around, even with self, even with full service.
Yeah, I found. Yeah, I just like the roads in the U.S. are just nicer.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's 100%. The roads are better in the U.S.
Jeez, I hate our roads, especially in Jersey. Easy Pass keeps going up. The toll rates go up, and potholes get bigger.
You got nothing for potholes compared to up here, man. And our highways, so the only time we really had any time that slowed us down was when we were in Maine and started raining. And I'm used to here, so the highways are grooved here. And it's not like they've grooved it across the lane, so it gives you like a vibration or something. It's there's wheel ruts in all the lanes.
Yeah, we have that here.
Yeah, it wasn't as bad as it is here.
Depends where you go.
Yeah, well, I-95 was not bad at all going through Maine.
No, the highways are pretty sweet here.
But, yeah, so I'm used to here on the highways, you kind of slow down a little because you could hydroplane because there's water sitting in spots. And we were driving at kind of that twilight hour plus the rain, so your eye was trying to adjust to it, so it was kind of difficult. And, yeah, I found Maine was easy to deal with that. Cruise control is great.
Yeah.
That was the only time I didn't use cruise because I don't like using cruise when it's raining or.
You shouldn't.
Yeah.
It's always when bad things happen.
Yeah. So.
All right. Let's thank our patrons.
All right. So we'll start here with Corey of Odyssey CNC, the Etsy Boys, Christy of Twisted Twine, Annette of 513 Woodworks, Full Steam Design by Chris Powell, Lillian Archer Photography, David Beckwith Makes, NB Wood Finery, and then our top tier, we have Espoke Studios, Janelle Smith Christian, Brian Drennan, Lawrence Maritime Knife Supply.com, Ed Johns of ButtJoints.com, Adam of Uncle Sam Metalworks, Green Street Joinery, Vincent Ferrari of Digitally Creative, Brian Housefort of Workfort Podcast, Artigino Sorio, Matt of Wooden Mustache, Brad of Brad's Customs, David and Joanna of Vitalworks, Chad of Chad's Custom Creations, Ryan of Gnomehammer Forge, David of DW Wood Builds, Matt of First Do Construction, and Tony of Kodamo Designs. Thank you all.
Yes, thank you. It's fantastic. All those named, as well as all the other patrons, get your entry into the Gnomehammer giveaway. If you want to get in on it, you can become a patron of ours, a patron of Ryan's, or you could buy tickets. If you're a patron already, you know the breakdown. If not, go back and listen to the episode where Gnomehammer was on. We go through all the breakdown of the different entries you get for being in. New giveaway will be at the end of the month.
Yes.
What's the day of that? 20-something, around there, 26th, 27th?
So deadline's 25th, and we'll announce it on the 28th.
Get your entries in. You can support us, you can support Ryan, or you can just buy your own ticket. However you want to do that, we'd appreciate it. Ryan would appreciate it. What is the giveaway this month, Tony?
So he is making a benchtop anvil of 4140 steel.
I love a good benchtop anvil.
Yeah, come in handy.
They do. They come in handy for more than just blacksmiths, which is nice. That'll be good.
Hmm.
Any parting words before we head off to the after show?
No, I think I've talked too much.
That's fair. That's fair. We're going to head out. But before we do, as always, we'd like to ask you to share the show with all your friends. Any of your friends, you can share our reel, however you want to do it. If you've already told them, tell them again. We are the greatest show about nothing. It's fantastic. Get your friends on board this week. Fact checking is by Uncle Sam. Theme music is by Chad's Custom Creations. If you want to find Tony, you can find him at Woodland Iron. If you want to find me, I'm at Blackthorn Concepts. Both of us can be found at Working Hands Podcast on Instagram. Tony runs the account over on TikTok. It is Working Hands 3. And yeah, I think that's all she wrote. If you want to leave us a 5-star review, I'll read it out loud on the podcast. Whatever you write, doesn't matter what you write, I will read it. But yeah, with that, we'll see you kids in the after show or next week, depending on if you get the after show. Later.
Later.